It's time for What's Cooking on 95BFM.
It sure is that time of the show. I'm super excited. Our guest today is Martin Sagadin. Kia ora, Martin. How are you?
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. How has your afternoon been? How's your day been?
Really good. Just kind of prepping for the, you know, the album release, which is on Friday.
Yes. Yes, big
so
prep
that's kind
going
of
into it.
Most of my time.
I'm sure. Yeah, for our listeners, Martin has their beautiful debut album coming out this Friday, and I've been very lucky to have a little bit of a sneaky listen ahead of its release, and it's so brilliant. Congratulations. Martin, how does it feel for you to be releasing this body of work?
That's really lovely, actually. In a way, it's like coming true. It's a lot of plans that are finally coming together. You know, I started working on this a long time ago, and now it's all coming together.
It's so brilliant.
A lot of collaborators.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, a lot of amazing people have worked with you on the album, and I'm excited to talk a little bit more about that. But you've selected some really beautiful tracks for us today, and I reckon we get straight into it. We've first got a track from Twin Sister Moon called Soulfate. We're going to play that one, and then we'll keep chatting in just a moment.
Yay.
I think I'm going to say this for every track you've selected today, but it feels so criminal to start talking over this. For our listeners, this is Soulfate by Twin Sister Moon, and this is What's Cooking with Martin Sagadin. Martin, talk to me a little bit about why you picked this track. It's so gorgeous.
So Twin Sister Moon is one half of a French duo called Natural Snow Buildings that I'm a big fan of. And this was kind of like an early way for me to start thinking about what my own music might look like, might sound like, what kind of approach I might take when it comes to writing songs. I think maybe this is more folky, more droney than what I do, but there's definitely elements of inspiration from their albums.
Yeah, for sure. No, I can see the connection there. It's so beautiful and such a gentle track. It's so lovely. I wanted to, before we get to talking a little bit more about the album, I wanted to kind of start at the beginning a little bit more and ask you a bit more, I guess, about that kind of formative relationship with music, because the segment is so lovely in the way that you get insight into an artist's brain and their artistry and where they're kind of pulling from. Do you have any kind of first memories of music or something that still feel quite present in your work or relationship with music today?
Yeah, I guess my I think my dad's music taste plays a really big part of my own kind of musical education and understanding. But probably my own current sort of taste sort of started taking shape in the 2000s, maybe 2010s, when I was just trolling for music online on music blogs, you know, when that was still a thing. Did you used to do that?
Yeah.
And just kind of trying to find obscure things that were like exactly what I liked. You know, with popular music, it's like often made for like a broad audience, and I was looking for things that were in a way kind of just for me. And so that's kind of been a part of figuring out what my music might end up being like. I know it's very specific. I mean, even the fact that it's all sung in Slovenian is, I'm sure, is going to turn some people off, but I'm hoping that it's going to be like a couple of people's favorite thing, or like it's just the thing for a few people.
Yeah, no, for sure. I also think, like, I was going to say a bit later, but I think even though, like, I don't understand the lyrics or anything, I think you can still very much so feel the album and feel the musicality of it and still have such a strong connection with the music. You don't need to understand the lyrics, which I think is so beautiful and such a skill, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like, you know, all of this stuff that's ended up on the album started off as writing, right? It started off as poetry. And I really was trying to figure out how I could share it with my friends, with my New Zealand English speaking friends. And there's just no way, you know, like I put out a poem book in Slovenian, give it to a friend, you know, good luck to them. But with music, there's a sort of a bridge that already exists. And underneath it is this sort of a current of emotional honesty that can really carry a lot. And so I basically designed the music to be true to that first.
Yeah, I think that's so beautiful. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, music does feel like this universal language that connects all of us. So to really like step into that is always really lovely. We have another really gorgeous track from you today that you've selected. I hear an all-time fave for you. This is Rocky Mountain Raga by Robbie Basho. You're on 95BFM, and this is What's Cooking.
Thank you.
This is Rocky Mountain Raga by Robbie Basho. This is What's Cooking on 95BFM with Martin Sagadin. This is such a beautiful track. I'm such a sucker for a gentle guitar track. Talk to me a bit about why you picked this song today.
Yeah, I mean, Robbie Basho is one of the old times for me. One of the reasons for this is that it's, you know, it's a meeting of two different things. It's a meeting of two different cultures, right? So it's Robbie, an American man, studying an Indian style of music, the raga, and sort of interpreting it through the guitar, through the 12-string guitar in this case, and basically finding his own thing outside of it. And that's something that really appealed to me, because with my music, I'm sort of, what I'm making sort of partakes of two different things. There is the Slovenian element to it, which, you know, I sing in the language, but it's not really a traditional Slovenian style of making music. I had to sort of find my own way of getting to that point. And I wanted it to be messy, and I wanted it to be not to a click, for example. And so, you know, a big inspiration for me has been the sort of indie music scene of New Zealand and all the musicians that I've worked with over the course of my sort of music video career, and people just kind of going for it.
Totally. Yeah, I want to kind of come back to the album a little bit with that. You spoke really beautifully before, I guess, about how you kind of went about thinking about how you wanted to sound. And I think it's, you've created this almost signature sound within the folk genre already, which is so wonderful. And you've brought together so many beautiful instruments and collaborators. And I don't know, I guess I was just kind of interested to hear a little bit more about how you kind of went about approaching writing this record sonically. Was there any kind of feeling you wanted to create in particular?
Yeah, and I guess it kind of goes back to Robbie Basho as well, and creating a really sort of ethereal feel, but without the help of electronic stuff. Everything that you hear on my album, just like with Robbie's albums, is acoustic instruments. So on this track that's playing right now, the Rocky Mountain Raga, it's you know, it's just guitar and violin and his voice. And similar with my stuff, I'm limiting myself to a very small amount of instruments and trying to make them sound really big, trying to balance them out, and trying to create this elaborate sound with very few elements.
Yeah, beautiful. Stripping it all back and seeing how much power you can give to, not seemingly powerless, but maybe overlooked instruments.
For sure. Yeah, most of the record is written for the fan organ, which is a weird instrument, kind of like an accordion with a vacuum cleaner inside it that blows air through the reeds, and the guitar and the mandolin.
How did you come across the fan organ? I'm intrigued.
Well, I found one years ago in an op shop in Blenheim, and it was something like $10. And it was just this thing that intrigued me, and I grabbed it. And this is the one that is on this record, is the second one. I've got another one after that that's a little bit better still. But it's not, you know, I don't see a lot of them around. And when they show up, they're not usually worth a lot to the people that have them. You know, the first one was $10. My second one was $25.
What the hell?
Yeah. Similar with, you know, why is there a mandolin on this record? I, you know, my mum found a mandolin, a free mandolin, on the side of the street in Outer Valley in Wellington. It was missing the top two strings. And in a way, it was sort of bent out of shape so that those two strings actually couldn't be replaced. So the songs on this album are all written with the bottom six strings of the mandolin.
Oh my god, I kind of love that though. You get the like rawness of a mildly shitty instrument, but it's like I don't know, give it love again and it will sound great, you know?
I think, you know, I wanted it just, well, I needed it to just be good enough. It just needs to be good enough and then that'll do.
Yeah, for sure. We've got one other really gorgeous track from you today. This one is by Tomasz Pingow. It's called Bela Izba. And I'm going to play that one for you all now, and we'll keep talking in just a moment. This is What's Cooking. I'm joined by Martin Zagadin. This is a track by Tomasz Pingow titled Bela Izba. Martin, talk to me a little bit about why you selected this track.
Well, I said earlier that I don't have a lot to lean on when it comes to Slovenian music in terms of my own album. I didn't want it to feel like much that already existed in the Slovenian scene. But there is, you know, Tomasz is the one that I do lean on to some extent as a sort of singer-songwriter from a particular time. He's sort of, I guess, the Nick Drake of the Slovenian folk scene.
Oh, beautiful.
Early records kind of go for crazy amounts of money online. They've been out of print for a long time and are kind of really respected overseas, and he's only ever sung in Slovenian, which was kind of inspiring to me and kind of encouraging. People really love his stuff, and he's only singing in Slovenian.
Yeah, it's so gorgeous. I guess I wanted to ask a little bit more about your experience with that. You were born in Slovenia, but you've been living and working in Aotearoa for nearly 20 years. How do you feel like that experience is reflected in this record?
Yeah, I mean, I've sort of crossed over the halfway mark in my life. You know, I've spent now more than half of my life in New Zealand, so it's definitely a home. But I think every immigrant would relate to this, that you do feel torn forever between the two places. And so this is a way of me keeping up something that is really essential to me, which is the Slovenian identity, I guess. Also, I moved here with my family, and they've all since moved back to Europe, so I'm the last one here. And it's a way for me to kind of stay in touch with my language and keep practicing it, because I don't have that many people that I can talk to in Slovenian here.
No. Yeah, no, of course. No, that's so beautiful. It's so lovely to hear you talk more about what went behind the record. We're going to finish off the segment playing your own track off the album, Stovrat. Can you tell us a little bit about the writing of this track in particular?
Yeah, so like basically all of the songs started as poems and then became songs as I put music to them. They started really small and then build. So most of the songs on the album start big and slowly become smaller. This one is the opposite. It starts small and builds. So it starts with just me singing in the mandolin, and then slowly my lovely collaborators come in. Liz Stokes from the Betts on the flugelhorn, and then Charlotte Forrester from Womb on the cello, and it sort of starts swelling, and it starts becoming this bigger thing that starts carrying the song. It starts becoming the song.
Yeah, I really like the use of the word swelling. That's a great way to describe the song, and yeah, the build. It's such a beautiful track, and I'm so excited to have the rest of the album out. For our listeners, Martin Sagadin's album comes out this Friday, the debut, so keep an eye out for that one on Bandcamp. Also, God knows if I had a record player, I would be getting that one on vinyl. I think that would be so beautiful to have physically. But also, you can catch Martin playing the album live at Pitt Street Methodist Church on the 19th of December. That won't be one to miss, so get your tickets for that as well. Martin, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me. That was a really beautiful chat.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, really excited to have the album out. Yeah, I just realized Friday is also Bandcamp Friday. So
yay!
If you buy it on that day, all of the money will go to me.
Yes. Buy it on Friday, my friends. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Martin. It's been such a pleasure. Have a lovely rest of your night.
Thanks. You
all
too.
Right. All right. This is Stovrat by Martin Sagadin.
What's cooking on 95 BFM.